Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. That's what we'll be looking at today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. I will warn you, if you put on this outfit, it will change you for the worse. Some of you are familiar with the story of Venom in the Marvel Universe. And if you're not, a guy named Eddie Brock finds a suit. And it's in this, when he puts it on, it gives him superpowers, even strength and protection. But pretty quickly we find out that this suit isn't neutral. This suit has a mind of its own. In fact, it begins to influence the one that's wearing the suit to hurt others. It amplifies emotions, feeds impulses, and before long, Eddie Brock finds out that this suit is not something just that you wear, but it's something that controls you. And he realizes that he has to take it off for his own survival. And in many ways, that is exactly how anger works. At first, it can feel good and justified, like it's right. You might feel energized and strong and ready to respond. But if you're not careful, anger doesn't just stay in its place. It actually begins to control the one that has it. It begins to take over. It begins to feed your thoughts. It begins to shape your words. It drives your actions. What you thought you were controlling, all of a sudden, is controlling you. And the Apostle Paul knows that. And that's why, in this passage of Ephesians 4, in which that we have learned and we have seen that Jesus has changed your life, so change your clothes, in which that he looks at the Christian life like it's putting off of the old self and putting on of the new self, he has told us to take off the outfit of lying in verse 25. And as you clear out the closet of your heart, the Apostle Paul seems to reach for another outfit. And some of us might have thought last week, lying, I have no problem with lying. That's not really my struggle. In fact, I always tell it just like it is. And if it skins granny, then it skins granny. Some of us might be like that. But now Paul pushes further, something that might hit a little closer to home for some of us, something that often hides beneath our words when we tell it like it is anger. So take off the outfit of lying. And take off the outfit of losing your temper in verses 26 and 27. He begins verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. That's the lay of the land. And he assumes something there in verse 26 that there will be moments when you get angry. And some of you hear that, take it completely out of context, and go, see, the Bible says be angry. It's an imperative there in Greek. I'm obeying the scripture, particularly when I drive. I'm really obeying the scripture right then, as soon as they cut me off without signaling and turn into the lane. I'm obeying the scriptures. But in the context of Ephesians 4, he's telling us to walk worthy of the calling we received and to take off certain things and put on the new self. And he gives us three key reasons why you should take off the outfit of losing your temper. And the first one is because anger tends to sin. So it's not a neutral thing. You go, lose your temper. I know exactly where it is. Our anger is not a neutral thing. So let's just take this down to the baseline. He says, be angry and do not sin. It would be like me telling you to go in the kitchen and do not touch the hot stove. What does that mean? That in that kitchen, there is a hot stove and a potential for you to come in contact with it. So here in verse 26, he says, be angry and do not sin, which means when you're angry, there is a great potential for you to come into contact with sin. Sin. And you know this is true because you've laid into them and gave them the best monologue, sermon, 3 points in a poem, altar call at the end. You gave them the best sermon you wished you'd never preached and you know you can't take back. So instead, the apostle encourages you to be angry without sinning. The reason for this is that sin and anger almost always go together. James chapter 1, verse 20 encourages us to be slow to anger when he says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So anger is not a neutral thing. It's not a harmless thing. And in general, does not bring about more righteous obedience to God's causes. But instead, most likely, it's a blowing up on others about situations that will not serve our purposes. It's a blowing up on others about situations that will not serve our purposes. Instead, the writer of Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. So that's why James says, be angry and do not sin, James says your anger doesn't bring about the righteousness of God. So it's not likely to be a holy event, but instead giving a full event to what's inside you, and that's what fools do. So in all likelihood, based on the authority of God's word, your anger is sinful and foolish. Just most likely. So, in other words, do not give them a piece of your mind unless you want them to know that you're a fool. Don't give them a piece of your mind unless you're okay with them knowing that you're a fool. But anger, anger is normally expressed by fools. As it's been said, if you wouldn't say it tomorrow calmly, don't say it today angrily. If you wouldn't say it tomorrow calmly, don't say it today angrily. Instead, as Sam Gordon notes, our anger should be kindled by the fire from the altar of God. So it is possible for you to be holy in your anger because God is holy in his anger. So that means that anger isn't a synonym, put an equal sign next to anger and sin. Otherwise, Psalm 103 would be worded like this: God is slow to sin. But that's nonsense. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So you can be angry in a holy way if, pull the brake, you can be angry if you are angry at what God is angry at in the way that God is angry. So one, you must be angry at what God is angry about. And two, the way God would be angry about it. Easy enough, right? Just be mad at what God is mad at and mad how God would be mad. Psalm 103:8, Psalm 86:10 says God is slow to anger. For you to have holy anger, you must be able to suffer long with who's making you angry. In other words, imagine if God was angry like you, what that would look like. It would probably look like Avengers Infinity War, in which the Thanos has accumulated all of this power, and he looks at a creation of people, and he snaps his fingers, and a third of them are obliterated. It would be a blowing up. Imagine if God blew up like you blow up. Imagine. Instead, God's anger is not the result of emotional instability like yours and mine. No. There is a day of wrath coming that none of the living know. God's anger is patient and measured and restorative. Think about Psalm 7:1. God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. And the KJV, if you have those, puts it even simpler. It says, God is angry with the wicked every day. So he's perfectly angry every day and yet has delayed his day of wrath for the living. The scriptures tell us that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. That is the response of an angry God towards the wicked. God is angry at sin and responds in a controlled, patient, wanting the best for those who have offended him. Is that like you? Is that like you? So you have to stop and ask, why am I angry? Is it because God is being dishonored? Or am I angry and holy, or just angry and hurt? Because someone is sinning, or because I'm prideful and I have an expanded sense of self-importance and they have sinned against my preferences? Samantha and I went to a conference a couple months ago in Louisville, and just to be honest, between me and you, I wasn't planning on being as convicted as I was. It was not planned. And yet, there was a breakout session on parenting, and the speaker said, are you disciplining your kids because they annoy you? Or are you disciplining your kids because they're sinning? And I asked the question, is your anger at your spouse because they're sinning? Or because they're sinning against your preferences? And I understand that you are not like God, like I'm not like God. So you and I will be angry at things that God is not angry at. So we must be careful with our anger because it tends to sin. One preacher compared anger to adrenaline because our body releases adrenaline for our protection. But if your body keeps producing adrenaline nonstop, it will literally tear you apart from the inside. Used rightly, it can protect. Left unchecked, it will destroy you. So Paul says that about anger. He says, keep it in check. Look at the next phrase in verse 26. do not let the sun go down on your anger. So take off the outfit of lying and losing your temper, because anger tends to sin. And in all likelihood, your anger is sinful and foolish. And yet, it doesn't just stay in the moment. He says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. So take off the outfit of losing your temper, because anger tends to sin, and anger typically stews. So whatever the reason for your anger, there needs to be a season for your anger. Whatever the reason for your anger, there needs to be a season for your anger. A season, short one. So deal with it in the day it's in, and then you need to let it go. And I've heard people talk about this and be like, okay, so don't let the sun go down on your anger. So me and my spouse, we're headed to bed, and a fight breaks out. Is this verse saying that we should stay awake until ding, ding, ding? Winner, until somebody wins. Stay up fighting. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Is that what this is? And I've tried this before, right? I've tried to stay up as late and as long as a resolution would take. And the later I stayed up, the tireder I got, and the thinner my filter runs. So the more likelihood I'm likely to say something ignorant, as I say, is astronomical after 7 o'clock. Some of y'all stay up way too late. Well, I've tried that, and it means I'm extra tired, and it goes extra badly. But here in verse 26, the Apostle Paul is actually quoting a psalm, Psalm 4:4, which says this: be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Selah. That means stop and think about it a second. And the verse right before that in Psalm 4 says, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself, and the Lord hears when I call to him. So how about this? You're angry with your spouse, and it's late, and you're both tired. And you do both Ephesians 4 and Psalm 4. And you say, let's pray. You say, let's pray. And if that, and you pray for each other, and at the same time, you wake up rested and you seek resolution. But if let's pray sounds like a smack in the face, and after the stuff that you just said, let's pray seems like that's an extra punch, because now you're pretending to be holy after all the stuff you said you shouldn't have said. So if that drops like something that shouldn't be in the punch bowl, in the punch bowl, and they're like, I'm not drinking that now, then you know that you can still go to bed and call out to the Lord for yourself and ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. Because the Lord has set apart the godly for himself, and he hears you when you call. So you can either pray with your spouse or by yourself, But either way, the fight has to end. The temperature has to turn down. And it kind of works to end an argument when someone bows out. Because it takes two to tango. And you say, I'm not tangoing. I'm bed going. Not tangoing, I'm bed going. But either way, it has to end. Why? Because anger tends to sin. So the longer anger goes, the more sin grows. So the longer anger goes, the more sin grows. So we have to turn the temperatures down. We have to forgive. We have to control our anger before it burns down our house, our marriages, and our relationships with our kids and our grandkids. And this verse means that if we're typically an angry person and we go quick to it, we're a particularly ungodly person. And that this is a crisis in our life. This is a real problem. Because it means that we're sinning a lot if we're angry a lot. Because anger tends to sin, and anger typically stews. And where anger goes, anger grows. So we can't keep going, because anger sets in and turns into something called bitterness. And bitterness, as it's been said, is like drinking poison yourself and waiting on someone else to die. That's what bitterness is. So make sure our anger's holy. Make sure our anger's short. And think about this. So if anger tends to sin and anger typically stews, that means when the temperature rises, you need to identify that that is a temptation to sin. Your emotions are tempting you to sin. An alarm needs to go off because it tends to sin and it typically stews. And here's why that alarm goes off. Verse 27. He says we should limit our anger. And, verse 27, give no opportunity to the devil. So losing your temper, you should take it off because anger tends to sin. It typically stews. And thirdly, it triggers Satan. It triggers Satan. That's why our anger is so dangerous, because when you hold on to anger, you give the devil opportunity to work in your life. The devil's works in marriages where tempers and yelling is normal. And I know that you didn't go into it thinking that that's how it would be. When you grabbed her hand in the presence of God and these witnesses, you maybe had a cliche preacher. And he talked about, had this moment, or maybe it was sand, or maybe it was two candles that were lit, something. And this preacher held onto a rope, and he quoted Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Maybe you held her hand and looked into her eyes and there was that. Well, when you are continually angry with your spouse, you are participating in a threefold cord. You, your spouse, and the devil. And that threefold cord will strangle anybody and everybody who's in that house. If you want the devil to work in your kid's life, Hold on to anger. Let it thrive into bitterness. Keep a long record of their wrongs. Keep a low boil on things so that the least little thing will set you off. Just like the Hulk, the secret to the devil devouring your kids is always be angry. Always be angry. Your temper is a tool of the devil, and as John Piper puts it, the devil always throws his tools away. The devil always throws his tools away. So if your anger revolves around you and refuses to go away, the devil will absolutely use you. Absolutely use you. He'll work through you to destroy your relationships and leave them on the trash heap of divorce with kids and grandkids who won't return your calls. If you are a Christian, you cannot take your bad temper to heaven with you. It won't go. It will fall away as you are glorified. And as it's been said, if your temper leaves at glorification, why would you indulge it in your sanctification? But until then, you must put it away. You must put it away. Take it off. It's got to go. It can't stay. You should take off the outfit of losing your temper because anger leads to sin. It typically stews and it triggers Satan. That is why you should take it off. Now, Charles Spurgeon, in a sermon on waking up sleepy Christians, he gets up and he yells, "Fire, fire!" And there was a commotion in the service and people go, "Where's the fire?" And Spurgeon, who just got their attention, said, "Where's the fire? It's in hell for such sleepy sinners." In a similar way, I could preach about your anger and the anger of God to warn you of the fires of hell. But if you're a Christian, the worst Christian in this room will never sniff a stench of the smoke. The worst Christian in this room, with the worst temper in this room, will not sniff a stench of the smoke of hell. And the devil will never take your crown away. You are eternally safe with God. And yet, he will never bring you to hell, but he can bring hell to you on this earth via your anger. You're never going to go there. You're never going to go there. But he will bring it to you here. Since he can't take your crown, he will take your comfort. And how will he take your comfort? He will use your anger to bring as much hell to you on this earth as he possibly can. Many times, when we give way to our anger, you and I speak with the stench of the flames of hell. Because that is where it comes from, and that is who works with it. So you should put off your old self, your old fit of anger. Stop throwing those fits, because it tends to sin. It typically stews, and it triggers Satan. So what are you going to do with the outfit of your temper in your closet? What are you going to do? Are you going to make excuses for it? Are you going to say, "It's been part of my life. I might as well lose my left leg." Goodbye, left leg, by the way. Because it has to go. You say, "I don't know anything else but that. The default setting is to go quickly to anger. I have two emotions, The food's here, and anger. You need to take off the outfit of losing your temper. Are you going to try to manage it like you're managing it now? Because what could you be thinking? Be like, they know how I am. They know that I love them. They will forgive me. Do you know how silly that sounds? That you would sin against someone and keep doing it with the license that they love you? Because here's a real hard question. Do you actually love them? Do you actually love them? Because, we've been married for years. They know how I am. They'll forgive me. They forgive me every time. What kind of misery do you want them to live in? If you loved them, you would put that away. If you really love them. So what do we do? Instead of make excuses, it's not going to work. Manage it, that's not happening. The only option is taking it off. The only option is taking it off. For Jesus Christ took the sin of your temper upon himself. That when he died on the cross, for every time that you rip someone a new one. He did. He took that on himself. And we say cranky because we church up our sin. And we say they're just old because we dress up our sin. They're old and cranky. That is a dressing up of our sin. And we shouldn't give fair names to foul sins. That's a Spurgeon quote. We don't need to make excuses for it. We don't need to manage it. We need to repent of it. So in the moment, though, I know that's what you're calling me to do right now, but in the moment, what do I do? You slow everything down. You slow everything down. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, and a wise man withholds it. That means you're feeling it. You recognize the crisis. I'm getting angry. Quote the Hulk. In the movies, he has a watch and it starts beeping when he gets angry to let him know that he's getting ready to Hulk up. Our emotions are like that beeping in our heart to letting us know that we are close to sinning. We're close to sinning. And it's not okay. It's not okay. We have to slow it down. Slow our responses down. Not respond so quickly. Not speak so quickly. It's one thing to feel it. It's another one to express it. And we get a filter because we're Christians and we can have one of those. We ought to have one of those. Beginning around verses 28 and 29, he says that filter ought to be on your mouth. Because believe it or not, not one person in this room is old enough and has earned the right to sin with their mouth. I just tell them what I think. I'm old enough and I've been terrible. Terrible. That's ungodly. that smells with the stench of the foul odors of hell. Older you should get, the holier you should get. The longer you walk with the Lord, the more like Him you should be. You don't earn the right to shoot your mouth off. And yet, the worst tongue lashings I have ever received have been from people who have been in the church long enough to know better. If only they were walking with the Lord. Because we are walking with the Lord, we have this option to take off these clothes and put on other clothes that pleases the Lord God. And we'll get to our mouths in a week or two. But you need to take off the clothes of losing your temper. Call it for what it is. It's sin. It was placed upon the Lord Jesus on the cross. Do not flirt with it. It was laid upon Him who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, and people who control our temper, and we repent of it. You know, I didn't have a temper until I had kids. I was just some kind of goof off that stood around until I got kids, and then I figured out I had an anger problem. They exposed sin in me that I didn't know I had. It's been an ugly picture that I don't want to look at. And that I tell you now. And as I was studying for this and meditating on these verses, I realized I need this every day. This every day conscious decision not to wear those clothes. Because you're going to have an opportunity. You're going to have an opportunity with your spouse, your kids, your grandkids. You're going to have an opportunity. A situation's going to arise. And you're going to have to pick an outfit. Is it going to be your temper? Or is it going to be a godly response? When your spouse comes to you and she holds up two outfits, she goes, which one do you want to do? And one of them is a full vent to your anger. And the other one is trusting in the Lord to calm the emotions inside you. That you're going to pick that one. That you're going to pick that one. And when your coworker comes up to you and tells you something they shouldn't tell you and puts work upon you that shouldn't be yours and a responsibility that shouldn't be yours. He's really holding up two outfits. One of them is a full vent of your spirit, showing him you're a fool. And the other outfit looks like Christ. And because you're a Christian, every conversation is an opportunity of which outfits you're going to wear. Know that that's the case. That when they smart off to you, they're holding up two outfits and saying, pick one. Which one do you want? I want you to stare at those two outfits and know that one of them has been placed upon Christ for your sin. And you don't want to wear it anymore. And you don't have to wear it anymore. And you don't have to be that person anymore. So therefore, put to death what is earthly in you. And put on the new self that's renewed in the knowledge of your Creator. Colossians chapter 3 tells us that that's a real option for you. It's got to slow down. It's got to point to one outfit that is obviously sin. So slow down. Pick your outfit out in that conversation. Is it going to be sin or is it not? Is it going to be sin or is it going to be believing the gospel of what God did for you in Christ for sinners like you? So slow down, pick your outfit, and realize tomorrow when you're sobered up, you want the holy outfit. And if you wouldn't say it tomorrow calmly, don't say it today angrily. Don't do it. So slow down. Pick your outfit. Know that you have this option because of what Christ has done for you. And one of them is trusting in him. And the other one is avenging yourself. And do not avenge yourselves, beloved. For the scriptures tell us, Romans 12 and 13, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. The Lord will avenge you if you have been wronged. If you're not a Christian, I said that the worst Christian in this room will never smell the stench of the flames of the smoke of hell. If you have not trusted in Christ, you will not see a glimpse of the glories of God in heaven once this life is over. They will never be in hell, and you will never be in heaven. Because God is holy, and you are not. You might be angry, and that's unholy, that's ungodly. But the good news is that God became a man in Jesus Christ who lived the one and only perfect life. And that, we just upped the ante on that in this sermon and in these verses, because that means that Jesus was angry and he did not sin. He did not sin. Instead, he lived the one and only perfect life for you, and he died on the cross for everything you've done against God, and he rose 3 days later, triumphant over death, and triumphant over your sin, and triumphant over your temper, and he commands you to turn from your sin and live with him, to trust in him, to drink him in like water, take him in like bread, to have him. His arms are wide open for you today to have him because of what he's purchased for you by his death in your place for your sin. If you're not a Christian, I'd love to talk to you about that. If you are a Christian, tomorrow is too late to deal with your temper. Tomorrow is too late. It is the kindness of God that leads you to repentance. And he's not being kind to you so you can continue in anger. In Jonah chapter 4, the words of God to the prophet just should echo in our ears. Do you do well to be angry? Father, thank you for your word. Not just your word, but the power of the Spirit of God in our life that gives us the option of changing clothes. The gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ is what gives us the option to take off anger, losing our temper. Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen.